We could try to explain what it feels like to get your work done on a John Deere. The way a Z-Track mower finishes in half the time you thought it would. Or how much easier it is to move mountains of soil with a 1-Series tractor. We could even go into detail about how it feels to tow up to 4,000 pounds behind a Gator XUV. But if you really want to know what it's like to run with us, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, back with another installment of the podcast that's all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Sometimes we love them. Sometimes we hate them. We'll see along the way. I want to remind you all that this is a comedy show. Sometimes people are getting confused about that, and I don't know why. I just felt like I was going to reiterate that on today. Well, if you're not new to this show, then you already know that I'm very what? Yes. Excited, elated, thrilled for today's guest. We have an amazing comedian, actress, and writer on the show. You've seen her on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Netflix comedy lineup. She's an author of the Audible original Dirtbag Anthropology and co-host of the political comedy podcast Reply Guys. Check out her new comedy special titled Loopholes on Prime Video and Apple TV out April 23rd. Congregation, please welcome Kate Willett to the show. Hey, Kate.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm trying my new voice out. I've been taking voice lessons. I feel like it sounds very weird. I was like, hey, Kate.
I think you sound to me like almost like somebody who has like a radio voice, which I think is very good for a podcaster.
Yeah, for sure. I sent my friend Punky by a stand-up set that I did at the Comedy Store not too long ago. She was like, you do stand-up like a news anchor. And I was like, I'm working on my new voice.
Oh, and so there's this woman on Instagram. I forgot what her name is, but she is a newscaster and she narrates like all the things that her
kids did
in like newscaster voice. It's so funny.
I think I've seen her. Her family's super cute. Yeah, I'm like, I'm trying not to go full newscaster, but I used to be like very shrill. Like my voice used to be like very back here. Like not that high pitch.
Like mine.
I was vocal fried hard. So I'm trying to find a happy medium of goodness. But hey, Kate, thank you so much for being here on the show. Congratulations on your special coming out April 23rd.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yes. And y'all can warm up. Y'all can watch Netflix comedy. That's still up. Y'all can warm up on April 23rd. Go ahead and click on that special. You know you want to. But Kate, we always ask on this podcast, what is your relationship to scams? Have you ever been scammed? Do you love them? Do you hate them? You've been a part of one? It could be anything.
So I feel like I am a pretty easily scammable person, or at least I was in the past. I'm much less gullible than I was at a former time. Mm-hmm. But like it used to be really easy to get me to join like straight up cults, honestly. Like I almost accidentally joined like a lot of cult services.
Wait, like which ones? Yeah.
So I'm not going to say the name of this because
they
do sue people, but people will probably know, or at least some listeners will. So there's this organization that they do like these large group awareness trainings. So they like bring everybody into a room and they spend like 3 days like convincing you that your life is going to get, you know, transformed by doing this program.
What are they bringing awareness to? What are the awarenesses that they're raising?
It's like self-awareness, right? You know, and so a lot of the stuff is like very basic, like okay. You just kind of kind of like almost toxic positivity stuff. Like okay. You're responsible for your life circumstances 100%, which in moderation, right? Like that's okay. Good. But also like sometimes like fucked up stuff happens to people. Like if you have cancer, it's not because you manifested it or whatever.
Right.
You know?
So they're tipping over into victim blaming, but they're saying that it's like self-accountability. Okay. Yeah, so instead of raising awareness for a cause, you are the cause. They raise an awareness for you.
It's your own personal transformation. And, you know, the training is like maybe 14 hours per day or maybe even a little longer.
Training on what? You?
The training? Yeah. You're like, I want to say it's like probably comparable to something like Tony Robbins, maybe, but like without a main charismatic figure. It's like, you know, it's kind of corporate in the sense that there's like all these people that do it.
Do you remember any segments specifically, Kate? Like finding you, blaming you, chastising you, or what were they talking about? And you remember any of them?
The one thing I do remember some of them, like they have you call the people in your life, like your mom, your dad,
your
friends. And then you're supposed to like take complete responsibility for the way that the relationship has gone so far. And, you know, like talk about like what possibilities you want to create. That's their language, you know? So, and another segment is, you know, you create the possibilities for yourself. Another, like you say what you want to happen, but it's not even necessarily always like super specific. Like I'm creating the possibility of like integrity in all of my affairs or something like that. And like stuff that sounds really kind of abstract and somewhat nonsensical sometimes. There was another section where you had to write down like a story of like a bad event that happened to you. And you would just read it to another person over and over and over and over again. And like the idea was, you know, to get the emotional charge out of it, you know? So it was just like kind of a lot of stuff like that. Probably.
Were you in LA when you joined this organization?
No, I was in the Bay Area.
And this was like right in Cali. Cause I'm pretty sure I know exactly what you're talking about because someone else has mentioned it. But especially when you said calling the loved ones. That was
let's say it rhymes with the Schman Mark Schmorum.
Yeah.
But you know, which could be any number of possibilities.
Could be anything.
There's a lot of things. Yeah. But so I did it like right after I left college because I was an actor and I had this very charismatic acting teacher that had sort of formed her own type of cult. Like acting class is kind of its own cult. And, you know, so they keep you like really tired and really hungry and everybody's like talking about all this, you know, like very emotional stuff that's happened to them in their life. Like, I mean, it could be small stuff like getting rejected from their top college or like even people talking about really serious stuff, like being severely abused by their parents as a child or whatever, you know? And I would say that like 70% of what they teach is helpful yet obvious in terms of like, you know, keep your promises to yourself and like, you know, and then probably another 30% tips over into like stuff that does get to be like, I think a little victim blamey in terms of like, you know, even with these really bad events that have happened to people that, you know, they're responsible for it or they created it in some way. Right.
Because guilt can keep you in a chokehold. And sleep deprivation and food deprivation are definitely like the grooming tactics of getting people into a cult, which is also a good tip for y'all. Sometimes before you make a rash decision, take a nap, eat something. There's been so many times where I felt like I was going crazy and it was because I had not eaten anything or had not gotten a good night's rest. Nap in your car. Nap at work. Like before you send that presentation over, just, you know, catch a 15. Cause sometimes I swear, like, your brain function it's not even like I'm saying something wild, but your brain function can heavily, you know, influence how you make decisions and how you're thinking. So if they're sleep depriving all these young people and making them relive their trauma over and over and over again, like, do the trauma one more time, hit me with that trauma one more time. And then when did they get to the money?
So the money is like, it costs money to sign up in the first place.
Okay. Up front.
Yeah. Like I think around the time I did it, it was like in the high 300s or something like that. Which like I signed up for it. It was a lot of money for me at the time.
Where did they find you? Or did you find them?
So I had this acting teacher. They got our whole acting class to take it. She's like, this is the thing that will make you guys better actors and like have a successful career and stuff. And we all trusted her like so much because she was a really good acting teacher. And I don't know if you've been in acting class, but sometimes these really like cult-like dynamics can emerge. Like the best I've ever seen are represented in a show is that show Barry. It's so funny. Like where people just revere the acting teacher so much. But so we all signed up. We all did it. And then, you know, at the end, when you're like super raw and emotional, they close on like a very positive note. So like everyone's really emotionally high. And then they try to get everybody to like sign up for all the later courses. And of course, the later courses are like even more expensive than the already expensive one up front. And not only that, but they super pressure you to call and convince like all of your friends and family to join. I was a little more reticent to do that part. I did sign up for the second one after that, you know.
But you didn't call your homegirls? You didn't call your granny and tell her that she needs to start blaming herself?
I think I made my boyfriend do it.
You didn't tell her osteoporosis was her fault and that she needed to join the cult? You made your boyfriend do it, though. Okay.
So I made my boyfriend do it. I made my boyfriend do it. And I made... who else did do it? Like one of my, I didn't really make her, but I got like my best friend to do it.
Yeah, you were just sharing the wealth because at this point you feel like, oh, this is a transformational experience. I took a lot of acting classes. I have a performance degree as well. But for some reason, I was just too unserious to ever get into the acting cult of it all. Like I had some teachers that I really love, some that I still talk to today. But, you know, I had some intense teachers that had you like on the ground moaning and shit. Like that was one of the open exercises. You're like, and all this shit. And I'm just very unserious. So I'd be like, what the fuck are we doing, bro? This is goofy as hell. But you know, like there's two different types of actors where some people are like, this is my craft and I'll get naked in the class and on stage. I'm like, bitch, I ain't doing all that. Y'all, these ain't Halle Berry titties, but I'm not getting Monsters Ball money, but y'all ain't getting these titties for free. That's not happening. But yes, I don't know. I make jokes at funerals, so I just was never going to be serious enough for them to get that. But I also get the more intense side of acting where you are doing like more methodical study and like really getting into characters and really diving into those emotions, and it turns out to be really great work when done well. So I have no shade for it. I just wasn't serious enough, but I can imagine a teacher like that getting young people to like join this experience, especially because it sounds like the teacher was a little brainwashed too. She was like, "Yo,
She was super super brainwashed, and she like it's kind of crazy because." She built like this little cult around her, but then she ended up like I was young and I didn't realize this, but basically like in retrospect, it's super clear that she was like very narcissistic and she taught acting class for a really long time. And I saw recently that she became a therapist. And I'm just like, oh my God, like whatever she did psychologically to the people in our acting class of like kind of cutting you down to make you feel better. She's now like a professional therapist. And I'm just
Who let her do that? Oh no. She should not be giving people advice. She's probably just using that to rope more people into the cult. But a lot of acting teachers, some are really, really great, wonderful, positive people, but you do get your fair share of narcissists who are directly attracted to that field. Scams!
Do you have an unemployed roommate at home?
You know who I'm talking about.
Children. Yes, Whitney said they are our future, and don't you want to invest in theirs?
I know you want to set your children up for success. Maybe you want to save a little coin on private tutoring because we know that inflation is high and these wages are not getting higher, okay? Which is why I love IXL Learning. IXL Learning, it's an online program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. No more trying to scam your kids as you try to figure out their math equations and their homework. And you know you haven't seen a trapezoid in about 20 years, right? So let IXL help you out. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Scam Goddess listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/goddess. Visit IXL.com/goddess to get the most effective learning program out there for the best price.
Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks, trying on shirts. This one's too hard. this one's too soft and it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have three different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing it right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows. Hot! But let's get into our next segment here, What's Hot and Fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams in the zeitgeist, or more often than not, we get a letter from you all. As always, snitch on your friends, family, and your enemies at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired because you know we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. Amen. And so I just need a fake name from you, Kate. We don't care about gender here. It could be any name.
Natalie.
Oh, I like Natalie.
I like that name too. I have a friend named Natalie and I was just like thinking about her today. So let's do it.
There's only Natalie. No, there's only Natalie that I've ever seen that was problematic. The rest of the Natalies, I really enjoy it. So Natalie says, hi, I recently started binging the pod and wanted to share my experiences of getting scammed. Okay, Natalie, so you got a couple examples here. It says the first one, I lost my job during COVID, but still had to pay rent. And a, in quotes, sugar daddy messaged me on Instagram. And I was like, oh, perfect. I need some money. Yeah. A sugar daddy. Also, Natalie, I know you're a baddie that could be for any gender. But I love that you immediately were like, oh, a sugar daddy messaged me right in my time of need. I'm so sexy. Yeah. Why wouldn't this happen to me? It's perfect. I do talk about pretty privilege because I have some very gorgeous friends. And I remember one of them when we were younger, she just lived in a world where everybody gave her everything. And luckily, she had friends who weren't haters, because for me personally, like when she would walk by or we would go anywhere, we just knew we would have everything that we wanted. We'd be like, oh, put Kim in the front. Like,
yes,
we love this. We love this. We get everything we want everywhere. But I think because she's like really, really gorgeous woman, I think that after a while, you start living in a pretty people bubble, like an aggressively pretty people bubble. And she just thought she could get away with anything. And I remember one time we were going to Made in America and we were like college students, we were broke. We didn't want to pay for like, you know, drinks. So we ordered these sunscreen bottles off Amazon that were flasks. And it was like a large tube that looks like copper tone. It says copper tone on it and everything. And this is an outdoor festival. So we had like froze some Hennessy while we're drinking Hennessy. This is poor decisions in life. It's a hot day. Hennessy on a hot summer day. What is going on? Why? And so we're going through the security checkpoint. And before we left, when we were filling them up, I was like, hey, y'all, I think there's five of us. I was like, I think we should only take three because, like, we're all black girls. Like, I don't think they're going to believe that we need this much sunscreen when we go through. And like, no one's going to believe, like, all these black girls brought industrial-sized copper toes because we care that much. Like, yes, I wear sunscreen. You should. Everyone should, no matter your skin color. Protect yourself from the sun. But, like, young college girls wearing that much sunscreen. Come on now. I was like, it's going to flag. And so I remember Kim was like, oh no, it'll be fine. Like everything will be fine. I was like, okay, girl. And so we split. I was like, well, we should at least split up and not go through the same security lines. So me and my bestie JoJo, we got through. And then when it came to Kim and my other friend, they got stopped immediately. And I was like, I told you this wasn't going to work. But she would just be flowing through life. And I love that for her. So I love that Natalie was like, you know what? A sugar daddy pops in my inbox in my time of need. Yes, that's how it works for me.
Yeah. That would be cool. It'd be cool to have a sugar daddy that was like, look, you don't have to even do anything. I just want to give you money because you're hot. That'd be an ideal situation.
Do you know Scam Goddess is actually a colloquial term for a financial dominatrix?
Really? I had no idea.
I had no idea either. And I chose this name, like, not knowing this information. And when I first used to come up on searches, especially on Twitter, like, I would click and search Scam Goddess sometimes to see how the episodes were doing. This was years ago. I've been doing the show for 5 years. But these women would pop up and be like, "You want to be my pay piggy?" And I was like, "What the hell is this?" And they were all called Scam Goddesses. I was like, not me picking...
Yeah.
And people would DM me. Men would DM me and be like, "I want to be your pay piggy," or "I want to, you know." And I was like, "What is going on?" And then I realized it was the name. Now it's mine. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know some people that do that line of work, and, like, you know, it sounds actually like a lot harder.
Oh, it's hard work.
Yeah, then I don't know.
Like, you have to be a people person. You got to deal with a lot of personalities you don't want to deal with. It's like, yeah. People always try to act like sex work is lazy. And I'm like, okay, you try it. You try it, you bum. Like, that's a lot of work. I can't imagine, like, if I started an OnlyFans and now there's so many people on OnlyFans, like, you have to really, like, break through the ether to get people to look at your nudes. And I would feel so bad if I put my titty online and it had, like, one view. Like, what? Like, but you have to build it up like a brand, like anything else. And people just think it's so easy. And I'm like, it's not. You're not built for it.
People on OnlyFans are only making, like, you know, a few $100 a month or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's tough.
the rich people or the famous people getting on there, and then they just kind of extrapolate that. And I'm like, y'all don't know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah.
And you could never, like, you probably not built to do that work. So just shut the fuck up. And it's always people talking about sex workers who enjoy sex work. I'm like, how much porn do you watch? You know that's sex work, right? Like, please be serious.
Yeah,
shut up.
To me, it's just like so. I mean, to me, it's just like, these people that, you know, are obsessed with, like, you know, being mad that, like, women are, you know, dominatrixes or having OnlyFans or whatever. I'm just like, get a life. You don't have to watch it. She can do whatever she wants, you know, like.
But people have an innate need to feel superior to someone. And so if your life is, you know, trash, instead of, you know, it's a lot harder to make your life better than it is to, like, shit on other people who you deem lesser than you.
But there's so many people. But even if you do want to do that, which I have that impulse too, but there's so many people in the world who are doing things that are, like, actually, like, incontrovertibly bad. I'm like, just, you could just find something super real to be.
No, that requires research. Data.
Yeah.
I got to read. I already, like, got some prejudices locked and loaded. What you mean I got to read?
Yeah, like, I mean, I get mad about stuff all the time, but it's not like you can flip to page one of the New York Times and find, you know, five of the biggest villains on earth.
Read.
Know,
like, too much, too hard. Yeah. So Natalie says, sugar daddy, you know, wonderful. So I was talking to this dude and he was like, in order to transfer money, I need a $50 eBay card to cover the transfer fees. I was 20 and stupid and desperate for money. And the dude disappeared once I sent the gift card. Yeah, we talked about this a lot, y'all. There's no money for money. If you're giving me money, give me the money. How you telling me you got money for the money, but you don't got money for the fees? So do you don't got money? No, never give people money to get money. That's weird, okay? Except for the IRS. They're the only people that we just legally allowed to shake us down.
We have to, yeah.
I'm pissed right now because for once in my fucking life, I got a refund because I overpaid.
Oh, wow.
And I don't get those. And then the IRS gonna send me a letter talking about, hey, we gotta make sure this is not identity theft. I was like, bitch, it was me when I was sending y'all all this damn money. Y'all didn't think it was somebody else. And now, cause you gotta send me some back as somebody else. And then I filled it out and they were like, 9 weeks, you'll get your check. It's been 4 months. And I went on the IRS site and they were like, oh, are you missing a check? Exactly for how much? Bitch, I don't know. I have a round number. They were like, that's not it. You gotta guess. Otherwise, we'll never give it to you. It's hell. I wanna fight the IRS so bad. I hate them bad. Me and all my homies hate the IRS.
I mean, I'm pro taxes in general.
Same, like, but not this.
No, it's like, I think I would feel, I'm not going to take us on a huge tangent here, but I would feel so different if I was paying taxes and, you know, it was like, oh, this is going to, like, pay for, like, my healthcare and for old people to have, you know, a secure
our
retirement.
Unhoused neighbors.
Exactly. Like, I would love it. But instead, we have to, like, donate all this money to the military. So it's just like,
to fight wars we don't want to fight. War is so old and ghetto. It's just a money-making machine at this point.
War is so old and ghetto. That's so funny.
Like, who's trying to do that? Like, nobody is trying to do the wars no more. Like, please, be serious.
Yeah. Some people fucking love that shit. And I am
people getting rich off of it.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to wrap this one up. She did give us one more scam, and I want to get into the hoodwink here, but I'm going to read it because it's a short one. Thank you, Natalie. A double feature. Natalie says, the second one was last year. Embarrassingly enough, I got an email from USPS saying I needed to update my payment info and address. I didn't think, okay, I'm going to stop. Okay, email. All right. I was about to say, if they sent you a letter saying you need to update your address, I would be like, huh? is this where you live that we sent it to? No. So Natalie says, I didn't think anything of it because I had moved and my debit card had expired since I had bought stamps online. I had put in all of my payment information and then realized it was probably a scam. I reported my card stolen immediately and had it locked, but then had a couple of random charges for a few months. Low-key, I feel like my bank is letting people scam. Okay, so I'm going to pause you right there, Natalie. The bank is scamming us. And for all that money they got on them overdraft fees that they used to do to people, the bank should give you your money back because it's insured and fuck them. But also, the reason that I read this one is because there's been such a huge uptick in this kind of online phishing. At this point, I'm like, I used to find it funny and I'll post them on my Instagram sometimes. But at this point, I'm getting like 20 emails a day. At least from scammers on all different email platforms, like, oh, you need to update your credit card information, or oh, this order is being sent through PayPal. If it's not you, stop here. And I'm actually starting to get pissed off. Like, I know they're fake, but I really feel for if I'm getting this many, I know everybody's getting this many. Your grandpa getting this many, your granny, auntie. And it's just such fucking bullshit. Like, get another grift, bro. Also, like, why the only time that you should update your payment information for any company is if you are in the middle of making a purchase. And if it was legit, the company would be like, this card is expired or this address no longer works with this card or whatever. But if you're not making a transaction, if you haven't purchased anything and a company reaches out to you talking about update your information or we need information, ignore that shit. Like, go directly to the real website on your URL if you're actually curious. But never respond to an email from a company talking about they need to update anything. Bitch, update what? Like, you're not my parole officer. I don't have to give you updates, USPS, Amazon. If I'm buying something, I'll update it. If not, like if it's a situation where it's on auto pay and your cards. The companies are only going to reach out. And companies are only going to reach out if the auto pay was supposed to go through and the card declined because you turned it off or something. They're not going to just reach out randomly and be like, hey, it's us verifying your auto pay. Just want to verify it again. Give us all your info. Like, y'all, anybody reaching out through email, just go to the site. Don't click on any links. At this point, it's treacherous.
Yeah, no, the email, the auto pay shit is so scammy.
Especially because they'll just like, the one I hate the most is Apple, because if you get any subscription through like the Apple store, they all start at the time that you purchase them. So Apple is just over here taking random amounts of $4.99 out of your account all month long. And there's, you should check those, because sometimes they'll just add and spring a little extra. And I'm like, that's not...
Yeah,
I didn't pay for that. Or auto pay will increase the price on certain services, and sometimes they tell you, sometimes they don't. Like,
yeah.
I think once a year you should audit everything that you have on auto pay.
Yeah,
and figure out if you need it, figure out how long it's been going on, how much you use it, because it's a scam.
Totally, I try to do it even more than once a year because there's been so many times where I just like, you know, like I needed to, I don't know, edit a PDF or something and I didn't have the software. And I was like, sure, you know, I'll pay $5 to do this thing. I'm in a time crunch. And then I'll like, look, and I'll be like, fuck, that was 5 months ago. Why have I been paying for this every month? You know?
Exactly. That's how they get you. Also, I'm not a huge fan of subscription services for products. If I want to buy some leggings or I want to buy some lip gloss, why do I need a subscription for lip gloss or leggings? Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
It's avoid not like those. They're a racket.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, but you're going to get deals and access to these secret products. Unless you have some extreme shopping addiction where you buying products every month from this company.
Yeah.
Don't get on a, those kind of systems are predatory. And companies are getting sued left and right for them. Because they also make it very difficult for you to unsubscribe from your paid subscription to like leggings.
Yes, I know. It's so weird and hard and confusing to like do the stopping your subscription thing. The gym is another one that's so hard. Oh, I was trying to cancel a 24-hour fitness membership for like 2 years. And eventually I just had to cancel my credit card. It's because they would not stop.
Oh, they won't. I saw a tweet that went viral the other day that was like, hey, I'm about to cancel my Planet Fitness account. And then they retweeted themselves and were like, they jumped me in the back. They were like, they beat me up. Like, yeah, you're not getting out. It's like, gyms are gangs. They like blood in, blood out.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely. Yeah.
You try to cancel your membership. They're like, are you dead? Well, then come in here and get this piece of treadmill, bitch, because I don't know where the fuck you think you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Luckily, I almost signed up for a gym membership that was definitely going to scam me in forever. But when I did the walkthrough tour of the gym, there was somebody working out with the weight sets, like with the free weights, and they were wearing jeans. And I was like, oh, no, I got to get out of here. If I see someone in jeans in a gym, I feel like I'm in prison and I will not be coming there. Like, I won't be going there.
100%.
Like, are you a murderer? If you work out in jeans, we know you do murders. We do. Okay. So I feel like if anything happens, I just be like, he's the primary suspect, him right there with the free weights and the dungarees. I know he did it. He came in here and worked out after. I know he did.
Robbery!
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, do you feel that in the air? Yes, that is summertime. It's in the breeze. It's in the trees. And y'all know when the sky comes out, the thighs come out. And as the weather gets hotter, it's time to say bye to jackets and sweaters and hey to shorts and tees. If you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Y'all know I love Quince. If you want to be looking chic year after year with classic pieces that you can dress up, dress down, wear around town, you got to get into Quince. They have premium European linen dresses. I have one in green, and oh, when I wear it, it is a showstopper. Blouses, shorts from $30, y'all. Washable silk tops, which I told y'all I love those. I actually went back and got it in navy. I got it in the white, like cream, and I just know when I wear it, I'm going to feel like Diane Keaton on the beach thinking about my life. Like white cream, are you kidding me? It's giving rich, okay? Quince is that girl. Y'all know you see me in their pieces all the time. Get into it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess.
And fraud. All right, let's get into historic hoodwinks. This is the segment where I will regale Kate with a famous cotton caper group of criminals we don't know yet. Maybe we love them. Maybe we hate them. Okay. We will find out.
Okay.
And a quick content warning up here. There are mentions of suicide and gun violence. We just want to say that up top as a warning. As always, we'll treat those things with care. But you might want to stick along for this ride because there might be a little turn here that makes it a little less hard to stomach. So today we're talking about Samuel Israel III. Too many names. Ran a hedge fund that accidentally turned into a scam. Accidentally is in quotes. So we'll see how accidentally it was.
Whoopsie.
But in addition, I did a crime. Okay, this is not an accident. Look at his smirk. That smirk says I did it on purpose.
Yes, that is definitely like I did it on purpose, smart.
100%. If I was his lawyer, we would definitely have like a face training segment where I'd be like, don't make that face no more. Like, let me look at you.
Yeah, that face is an admission of guilt. You don't have to say anything, just looking at it.
So before I get out to your case files, I set you up with some appointments for Botox because we got to get your face to stop moving because it's giving guilty. Like, I've never seen a face look more guilty. So in addition to him being found a scammer, Sam accidentally found himself in a plot of a spy movie. So a little bit about Sam Israel III. Sam Israel is a New Orleans native and grandson of a well-known commodities trader on Wall Street. He started the Bayou Hedge Fund Group in 1996 and quickly rose to the top, receiving money from some of the most well-respected investors on Wall Street. I mean, when you start a hedge fund, you're already getting into a scam. Like, we know what's going on. Early on, Sam's lies were small, just cute little lies. I don't like what they call them, white lies. You know, like, I feel like, what's that mean? I don't like that. I like cute lies, small lies. All right. So it turns out that despite having a building named after his grandfather at Tulane University, he never actually graduated, though he told investors that he did. I mean, I don't know if that's a small lie. You just lied about a whole institution. But if your granddaddy got a building, then like, who gonna check you?
Yeah. You're safe. You're good.
Yeah, I feel like if we gave building money to Tulane, then they should just give me a certificate. Like, why do I even have to go to class? What do you mean?
Yeah,
I made the building. That's my granddaddy. Like, give me my stuff right now. So he also exaggerated his professional resume, fudging dates and overstating his responsibilities for one key job in the bio that he sent out to prospective investors. So not only did he cook up his college diploma, he also cooked his resume. I'm not really seeing any problems right now. Just you usually do have to lie to get a job because every job wants you to have like 10 years experience. And it's like, I just got out of college. How would I have the experience that you're asking for? Like, how do you get experience without getting experience? You lie about it.
Yes.
And I was even talking to a recruiter. My friend worked for this recruiter and he was hiring people. And one of the things that the recruiter told him, he was like, this person says that they have 5 years proficiency in this type of software. And I know that that can't be true because the software came out 2 years ago. And the recruiter was like, oh, but you should hire them because they have ambition so much that they're willing to lie about how much experience that they have.
That's so funny.
So I guess the girls know in HR that you're lying, but they're like, that's that ambition we're looking for. They don't know what they're talking about, but they go fake it until they make it and work real
fake
hard.
Fake it until you make it, yeah.
They probably take less in pay because they don't know either. Like, it's wild. I was like, really? That's a good thing? I was like, well, I've been doing that my whole life, so I guess I was on the right track. So in the early 90s, he had been sued for not paying rent on his Manhattan high-rise, unusual for a man in his mid-30s who ran a hedge fund. So he was just not paying rent. Okay, now, mind you, he's super rich, right? He owns a hedge fund.
Yeah, so he hasn't.
But he was like, never mind on rent? Okay. Still, by appearances, the Bayou Fund seemed to be going well. In reality, Sam and Bayou were on the verge of bankruptcy. So they're probably throwing wonderful Christmas parties. He giving out year-end bonuses. And meanwhile, they have no money. The money's not moneying. So it turns out that Bayou had always been a complete sham. Despite Sam's genuine efforts, it never made any profits.
Oh, my God.
Oops. You know how sometimes you make a business and then the business don't make no money?
Yeah.
And that's an accident. We wanted it to make money. I'm on Sam's side so far. So Sam initially only planned to use investors' money to pay off other investors just to keep them in the clear until they made more money. We know this as a Ponzi scheme. Yes. But Sam says that he created the Ponzi scheme by accident.
Oh my God. Well, who among us has not accidentally created a Ponzi scheme? It's very easy to do.
It's so easy to do. You never tripped and fell into a Ponzi scheme?
I mean, who hasn't, really? You know?
They're everywhere, like potholes in LA. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's happened 12, 15 times.
To everybody. Who are you if you haven't? Actually, it's weird that you haven't fell into a Ponzi scheme. We should be looking at you. Everybody, I know. We agree?
You're not living. You're not living if you haven't fell into a Ponzi scheme.
You might be doing crime if this has never happened to you. I think we all turn our attention to this guy. Yeah? We on my side? So the accounting firm that vouched for Bayou's books was also completely made up, complete with a fake website and address. So you know how you make a fake company and a fake website and an address?
I don't even know how this guy can claim it's an accident. This is like so obviously not an accident.
I think he meant well. He intended to make money. He intended to have a company do oversight that he accidentally made up. Because, you know, sometimes you make up a company and that's not your fault. So desperate to make a quick $100 million, you know how you make $100 million real fast. Sam looked everywhere for an answer and found it in the most unusual of places.
Inside himself.
What a weird place to find an answer for more crime. So in 2004, Sam met B-grade Hollywood director. Damn, that's shady. Not B-grade Hollywood director. Jack O'Halloran, who had played a villain in the 1978 Superman movie. So that's his claim to fame. In 1978, he was this guy. So this is his headshot. And this is his, Was he a zombie or a villain? Because this is giving Walking Dead.
He looks like if Frankenstein's monster was a wrestler.
Like if he joined the WWE.
Yeah, it's like kind of Frankenstein looking, but like also like tons of chest hair and like a robe.
Yeah. Like, should we want to fuck the villain? Like, why is his chest meat out like that? And
I'm like trying to decide if he's attractive, but I don't think so.
No, he's not.
It's borderline. It's like he's not repulsive.
They want us to feel something. The face is, I'm feeling fear, but I feel like with the clavicle and the taco meat, I'm like, did they also want me to be aroused by this? I mean, it is the 70s, but also you're a villain. Put your chest away. Like, you need to be doing villainry. I don't know if, you know what? I like my villains cunt, so keep your chest out. I'm actually on board. I'm on board now. So his claim to fame was this movie in 1978. Jack has since restyled himself as a venture capitalist with the dealings in the CIA and with international agents. Now, last time I checked, those are government-like agencies. So how does that work with being a VC? I don't know. Sounds legit to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jack told Sam about a secret computer program that provided backdoor access to the world's leading banks to monitor the flow of money. This is Jack telling Sam this. And he was like, remember I was in Superman and I had my chest titties out? Yeah, now I do backdooring for all the banks in the world. And Sam's like, okay. So getting in on these projects required an invite, but guaranteed a huge rate of return. So if you want to get in on this computer program, like, I have to invite you. So it's exclusive, but and you do have to give me money. And trust me, remember, I was in Superman in 1978. So anyways, we don't need to talk no more about that. And Sam was probably like, well, you know, my granddaddy got a building at Tulane, so I definitely have a degree. They both had something to stand on, which is giving me scammy vibes already.
Yes.
So desperate, this is Sam, you know, when you're desperate, things are going to go wrong. Desperate to make enough money to save both himself and Bayou, which is his hedge fund company that doesn't have no funds, just hedges outside. Sam wanted into this project. He's got a lot of 100 million reasons why he needs to make this work. So the CIA agent that Jack set Sam up with was Robert Booth Nichols. And we have a photo of them. So this is the CIA agent.
Oh, my God. This is so, is this 80s or is this 90s or what?
It's 2004, but they are giving 80s energy.
Okay.
And like the one in the tan is the CIA agent in quotes. And it's giving like backstage or like, honestly, Craigslist. Like, do you want to do an immersive acting experience?
Yeah, I was going to say it's like an acting teacher. Like, it's like, it is very like a hedge, like a guy who was an actor 20 years ago and like is still trying to look like his headshot that was taken 20 years ago.
That is definitely what it's giving. It's also giving like he had these clothes or he went to Goodwill and was like, what's a CIA agent's outfit look like?
Yes.
What would Jack Bauer wear? Give me that. So he sets him up with this guy, right? Who many on the internet believed was involved in the most nefarious exploits in the world for decades. So Robert has a reputation of being one of the most nefarious CIA agents out there and, you know, black ops or whatever the hell else. When Sam propositioned Robert to get in the bank monitoring CIA program, Robert told him to forget about it. And that he was the one who could earn him billions. So he said, don't even worry about that, sweetheart. Don't worry about the bank back door. I can get you billions. Now, if I saw a man in that coat wearing denim on denim, it's not giving billions. It's not giving millions.
No, it's giving substitute teacher.
Right. I can make you 6 rolls of quarters. But you also do need to give me the money to make the change. Like, I don't know if you can make anything, bro. Like, this outfit is not giving me, you know where billions are. Like, I don't think you've ever seen that kind of money. So the buy-in was only $150 million. And Robert assured Sam that it wouldn't be a risk and instead placed in an account where no one could touch it while making 100% profit every 10 days. Now, Sam, you needed $100 million. and you're going to go from needing $100 million to investing $150 million, and you're going to get 100% profit. Every 10 days, you're going to make $150 million.
This is like, this reminds me of like the Fargo scam or whatever. Almost like the guy, it's just, he's so corny and he's just like, I don't know.
Right. I'm like, nothing about this. I'm not giving this man a cent. Definitely not $150 million. So according to Robert, he alone could guide Sam. And this is a quote. Only a few chosen people are able to participate in the program. Proceeds are used to fund black operations, fight wars, pay off foreign governments, and conduct good work in the third world. Oh, and good work. So we're going to fund wars. We're going to fund wars. We're going to pay off foreign governments. And then we also go do some good in the third world, aka the places that we stole all their resources and then mock them for being poor, even though we robbed them. That's like if you got robbed, like on the street, somebody's like, give me your purse, give me your wallet, give me your shoes. And you give it all up and they're like, ah, look at you, broke bitch with no shoes on. Wow, you so broke. And it's like, you just robbed me. What do you mean? And I just love that good work is all he says about it. Just so vague. No, it's we gonna do good stuff too. Don't even worry about that. But do give us the money. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good work.
Good work. Define that. No. Don't worry about that. It's a vibe. So the day after meeting Robert, Sam wired over $150 million to an account with Barclays Bank in London. Now, Sam. During the following year, Sam traveled to Geneva, Zurich, and Frankfurt under the guidance and handling of Robert, trying to trade in the shadow market. And I want to note here, shadow market is like an economic dark web or in a market secretly operating behind the actual market. So now we're in the dark market. I bet it's lit over there. I want to know what's going on the dark market.
It's not even the black market. It's just the dark market. There's still like a nightlight on.
They said black market is trademarked. So we the dark market.
Yeah.
So allegedly, it was not only incredibly difficult to trade these bonds, but dangerous. Of course, we on the dark market. Things got to get dark. So he and Robert were chased through the streets of London, assaulted in Amsterdam, and almost kidnapped in Zurich. So everywhere they went, somebody was trying to beat them up or chase them down. This doesn't sound like a good way to get money.
No, it's like, I would love $150 million, but this doesn't sound worth it to me.
At all. Also, like, how do these people know that we're in town? And aren't we on the dark market? People can't see around here. What's going on? So having made little progress, Sam wired his $150 million back to Bayou's New York City bank account. Just weeks later, Robert called him, claiming to have found a bunch of secret bonds in Germany with a bank called Postbank that Sam had to act on immediately. You know, that urgency.
Sam it's like the Nigerian money laundering scam, you know?
Right.
Like,
taxes and fees. But you got to do it today, because otherwise they're going to take the money back. You feel me?
Yeah, yes.
It's me in your email. So Sam wasn't convinced that the trade was real. And he insisted he travel to Hamburg to confirm its validity. So he was like, at least Sam was smart here. He was like, let me pull up and make sure that they got these notes and these bonds y'all talking about. Robert instructed him to fly in and meet a man from Pakistan intelligence at a hotel who equipped Sam with two handguns and silencers. So now he really is like living like a spy. Also, if you don't know how to use a gun, people can give you a gun, but most people in home invasion situations who have like firearms get shot with their own guns. Like people can disarm you, like if you have a gun. That's why when people are like, I have a gun, it's like, no, you're supposed to just shoot and ask questions later, because otherwise you'll get disarmed, shot with your own gun. So I don't know if just giving this guy, Sam, all willy-nilly, like what are his expertises with using weapons? Who knows? So the next morning, Robert arrived, so he came to town too, with news that hundreds of operatives had descended on Hamburg to try to stop them from making a trade, and urban combat was likely. So now I'm starting to notice a pattern. Every time Robert shows up, then some goons pop up who are after Sam. Coincidence.
Yes, coincidence.
Like, Robert, I was walking through the street just fine before you got here, and now we're getting chased? What's going on?
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but this feels like Robert is attracting the danger. So
he manifested He manifested the danger.
These are the spells that Robert cast.
He
just
didn't
for
take responsibility for the ways that he was putting it out into the universe.
No, not at all. So they met a banker through the back door of an empty bank, giving real thriller back doors, who explained the deal. Right, very normal. That's how you do dark business. You got to do it in the alley. Because people don't go in those. So the banker explained a deal involving $2 billion in unsecured bonds. Sam just needed to transfer $120 million to an account in Postbank. For security reasons, Sam left the meeting before Robert, because remember, everybody's chasing them, so they got to split up. On his way out, he ran into a suspicious man in a turban who he believed was involved with the operatives looking to stop the trade. Why? Because he got a turban on? I don't know. That feels like profiling.
Yeah.
So, so of course, give me post 9/11. I don't know if this guy was involved. So according to Sam, according to Sam, I let him go, walked on, then turned around to see if Bob was behind me. That's Robert. I saw the guy reach into his jacket and pull out a gun. Now, Bob was coming out of the building and the guy was aiming to shoot him. I pulled out my gun and I shot the guy. I hit him in the left hip and walked over and shot him in the head, and it exploded.
This really escalated.
Yeah, like it escalated from like a guy in the alleyway to a shootout and an exploding head. Okay. So there were no cars or witnesses, and the silencers had worked. The men ran. Robert promised to take care of the body and guns because Sam had saved his life. The next day, Sam wired the $120 million to Germany, leaving him with almost nothing but the faith that he had made a true investment. By 2005, the total investments in the Bayou were around $300 million plus profits. And despite Sam's international adventures, from outward appearances, it looked like the Bayou's still going great. Even though I just don't know if, like, I leave a business meeting, they're like, okay, you stand to make lots of money, and then immediately get shot at. If I'm going to wire the money, I don't
know what's that should be all the information you need, really. I think,
like, why was that a green light for you? Like, that's not a green light that they're just trying to shoot me in the alleyway. We have no money on us. All we've done is talk about the dark business and I'm getting shot at.
Yeah. Not bright.
Also, I'm not hanging out with Robert no more. If we're homies and every time I'm with you, people are trying to murder me, we can't be friends.
Yeah, even more stressful than being friends with someone super beautiful, you know?
that was not stressful at all. I love her. But this, I feel like this is like, we would both leave this relationship, like we talked about earlier, just like a slow fade away. Like, we're not...
Yeah.
I'm not
just
having...
like, I'd love to hang out Saturday, but just work is crazy right now.
Yeah, work is so crazy. Yeah, no, I would love to do the dark stuff with you, but I got a Pilates class and they charge a fee if you cancel.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I can't do the dark murders with you this weekend. But try. Let's see if we can get together next week. What's your Tuesday looking like? Oh, man, Tuesday's bad for me. I'll hit you back next month. Like, I'm not going there. What are you talking about? So the business looks like it's still going well. The Bayou is going great. So to everyone's surprise, the investors in the Bayou hedge fund, it was shocking when Sam sent out a letter in 2005 saying, "It's been a great run, but I regret to tell you that I've decided to fold up Bayou because I want to spend more time with my family, and the checks will be in the mail soon." So you have a huge hedge fund with over $300 million. In it, and you sent out a letter saying, "Hey y'all, I need to spend more time with my..." That's like what people say when they get fired from a job, but they're giving the person a chance to publicly act like they resigned. You know, "I just need to make more time for my family, so I'm no longer gonna run this $300 million hedge fund. I'll send y'all a check in a little bit, no worries." What? "I need to focus on my mental health, so I'm gonna just send y'all a check." I don't know if businesses can just dissolve like that. Like, "Hey, I don't want to. Goodbye." So the promised date that he said he was sending these checks, right, came and went. And no checks arrived. So he bought himself some time saying, "I'm going to send y'all these checks in 3 to 5 business months." And those months passed. Nobody got a check. So phones at the Bayou headquarters rang off the hook. People are calling day, night, night, day, text messaging, email, carrier pigeon. They're like, "Where is the money?" But there was no one to answer them, nor was there anyone at the mansion Sam rented from Donald Trump. Now, renting a property from Donald Trump, Sam, I just got to say, you are a scammer and a mark, which is really beautiful because you're on all sides of the scam. You're letting Robert scam you. You're also scamming investors. And then you went as far as to buy property from one of the number one real estate scammers in the world. Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. This is wow.
Donald just grab him by the coochie Trump. You thought that's what the J stands for. Why would you do this? Also, I can't imagine ever living in any property that Donald Trump has designed. They're so tacky.
It's like the wall is like moldy, but there's a golden toilet or something. I heard Mar-a-Lago is like falling apart and like is like really gross, actually.
Well, I mean, with all the legal fees Donald Trump that he can't pay, like I'm sure he can't afford to get the toilets upgraded or.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure there's all types of signs in the bathroom, like don't flush any paper, don't flush any toilet paper, don't poop.
Only Donald small Trump piece. Is definitely he's the ultimate scam goddess. Yeah.
Right. He's like, pee outside the golf course needs watering. Like, what are we doing? Like, this house also looks ugly. Like,
I know, it's very McMansion-y. Like, I don't know, have you seen McMansion Hell? She has a blog where she does like architectural critiques of like shitty mansions, and this like totally reminds me of something that would be on there.
I've got to look that up because I love looking at those houses that are just
it's
so
such
ugly.
A good blog. Yeah, no, but it's just like so many different like architectural styles, and there's no symmetry, and it's just like tacky as fuck.
Yeah, it's just rich people getting scammed. Look, money does not buy you taste. Okay, that's why I pay people to have
really
taste.
And the fountain looks like an apology present from the mafia.
It's really
so tacky. Yeah.
What a specific read.
Yeah.
We're sorry about your son.
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah, this house is disgusting. One investor who was owed $53 million didn't want to wait and flew across the country to the Bayou offices to confront Sam and his chief accountant, Dan Marino. Not to be confused with the football player. I love somebody who's going to pull up. Slide. I think that's amazing. Do that. Okay. So when our confrontational investor pulls up, right? He finds that the offices are abandoned and unlocked. The only thing he found was typed out in 6 pages on Dan's desk, and it was a suicide note left by him. So leaving your suicide note in your abandoned office, and suicide is a very serious topic. We have a content warning at the top of this, so we're not going to spend too much time on this. But there's just something about leaving it at your office that doesn't feel genuine to me because the office is abandoned. It's unlocked. Nobody is there. So who was going to find this note? You knew an investor was going to pull up, so you were just trying to tell them, like, oh, never. I can't give it back because I'm dead. What? So in the note, he confessed to everything, including that the hedge fund never made any money and that they had created a fake accounting firm. Police found Dan within hours of the investor finding the note, with his suicide plan either abandoned or never attempted. He cooperated immediately on laying out the full extent of Bayou's crimes and how they bilked hundreds of investors out of $300 million. Despite investing with foreign banks, in quotes, Bayou had reached the end of its rope. The transfers back and forth between Europe had triggered the authorities' attention at first, and Sam's disappearance is what sealed it. So at first they were like, why are you sending all this money back and forth to Europe? That's U.S. money. And you know the government is like very invested in money. Like other crimes, we'll get to those. But but Uncle Sam wants his check and he wants it yesterday. So if you're doing anything like that, they will come find you. So as soon as our homeboy Sam just disappeared, they were like, okay, yeah, we have cause. Let's pull up. So when the bad news made headlines, Sam finally turned himself in to the police. In September of 2005, he pleaded guilty to 3 counts of federal investor and mail fraud. Mail fraud is always where they get you. And in 2008, he was sentenced to 20 years in jail. In an act of mercy, the judge gave him 2 months free on bail to get his affairs in order. And what would those affairs be, Mr. Judge?
Are they like sex affairs or just all affairs?
For him to do lots of affairs.
He has to say goodbye to his dominatrix.
Right. What were these affairs? So on the day that he was supposed to report to prison, right? Police found Sam's SUV abandoned on the Bear Mountain Bridge in New York with "Suicide is painless" written on the dust of his windshield.
Oh my God.
So remember, he got 2 months, right? And then right when he was supposed to go back to jail, he parked his car on this bridge and wrote a note on the dust because he couldn't get it washed.
Are we going to find out that he faked his death?
Let's see. So they never found his body. And the search for Sam continued. Investigators discovered that another car had picked him up and driven him to an RV full of his possessions, aided by his girlfriend. So he didn't want an affair in order. Also, Sam, this is a very serious topic, like, you know, ideation and taking your life. But the way that you did it, I knew that it was nefarious the entire time because, one, you left it in an office that was abandoned. And you were like, hopefully somebody finds this. You knew who was going to find it. An angry investor was eventually going to pull up on you. And then the judge is nice enough to give you 2 months to get your affairs in order. I don't know what the hell that means. And then the day you're supposed to go to jail, you like, it's over for me. Don't look for my body. I have ascended. Like, what? There are cameras on bridges, Sam. Did you think this plan through? Sam, you should have drove up to the nearest volcano. Left it there. But I jumped in the top. Y'all will never find me. Like, what are you talking about? So he spent the summer living on a campground under an alias before his mother convinced him to turn himself in after his girlfriend was arrested for aiding him. So now you got the girlfriend in trouble. She's just trying to hold you down. There's so many women in prison for stuff like this, at behind men, behind partnerships. Like, girl, I'm not going to jail for you. I'm not a ride or die. I'll ride. And then when they're like, it's time to die, I'm like, can you pull over? I'm going to hop out right here because I'm not here for the or die part. I'm just a ride. And that's why the ride is good. If ride start getting bumpy, it's turbulence, I'm leaving. I'm getting off. I'm so sorry. But so his mother, shout out to the mother who was like, okay, now you got your girlfriend in jail. Like, just give it up.
Yeah.
So his mom convinced him. What wasn't known at the time is that for the entire previous year, he had been involved in a James Bond-like plan of international subterfuge. So remember that $120 million that him and Jack?
Oh my God. Yeah.
So in a since unsealed deposition, Robert admitted to the man's turban being outfitted with cackle bladder, a sack filled with chicken blood that a fraudster would wait until a precise moment to activate. So the man in the turban who just randomly pulled up in the alley while they were discussing the, you know, $2 billion in banknotes that they were going to get on the dark web of investment. Walk with me here. He was an actor. And the gun that the Pakistani international man gave Sam with the silencer was probably either not loaded or not, you know, like a real gun. Who knows? But basically, when Sam, like, or maybe it had blanks in it. When Sam shot the gun to murder the man who pulled up in the turban in the alley, he had, like, some kind of special effects, like, situation in the turban. So that's why I remember when Sam said he shot him in the head and his head exploded.
Yeah.
Because that's not normally how gunshots work.
No.
But Sam's never, obviously he's not a shooter. So he was like, wow, I did a murder and I'm so thrilled. And they moved on, but it was fake. It was all fake. Robert, that's why we said it was a little suspicious that every time Robert showed up, all of a sudden they were running from goons.
Oh my God, this guy's addicted to scamming.
He is. Also, he's addicted to getting scammed because Sam walked into Robert's trap here. So to this day, Sam believes Robert was real and that he did indeed kill a man. Sam is still serving time in the same prison as Bernie Madoff, you know, where he used to be, with a scheduled release date of May 10th, 2026. He believes Robert faked his own death in Geneva in 2009 and is still working in the shadow market. So Sam is in jail, you know, where Bernie was. Hopefully he got Bernie's cell. I feel like there should be a Ponzi row, like Hall of Fame, where, you know, Sam can set up next to where Bernie used to be. And I love that he's holding on to thinking that Robert actually was an international spy. And he actually wants to think that he killed a man, which clearly he did not. But you know what? I feel like that's because Sam doesn't want to believe that as a scammer, he was also getting scammed.
Yeah, man, he manifested it. He drew that scam energy into his life.
Yep. Sometimes it can backfire on you like this.
I know.
Robbers get robbed all the time. They just call that, you know, the game. Charge it to the game. Yeah. But also, I just love that Sam was so dedicated to the scam that he's not wondering where the $120 million that he wired went. None of this seems fake or nefarious. You just want to believe that this man faked his death. Okay.
Yes.
Whatever helps you sleep at night in the jail, Sam, do that. Well, that brings us to the end of a fantastic episode, Kate. It was so lovely to have you on the show. We always ask at the end, where would you like people to...
I've kind of upped my scam game. This guy is so good.
He was busy. He was busy for many years. And his passport is stamped, okay? He was running from goons in the street. He was having his Jack Bauer fantasies come true. And I love that for Sam. And I'm glad he didn't actually murder anyone. But we always ask at the end of this podcast, where do you like to be found, Kate? Is there anything you want to promote? Any socials, all of those things.
Yeah, find me on Instagram at kate.willett with two L's and two T's. And my special is out on Amazon and Apple TV on April 23rd.
Yeah.
It's called Loopholes. It's called a really fun special. It's a fun special. I actually talk a lot about dominatrix stuff in it.
Ooh.
Yes.
Now I'm intrigued.
I had a boyfriend that was always trying to scam with dominatrixes or whatever. So there's
he
a
was
long
trying
bit
to
about
scam
it.
Them. Okay, see, this is why y'all gotta watch Loopholes. Okay, April 23rd because I already have questions. I have questions and I need answers, and I will get them. I will be watching it. And as always, y'all in the footnotes, pre-order my book. It comes out September 10th, 2024. Pre-order. We're trying to scam our way into a bestseller list. Y'all help us sister out. And then, as always, email your friends, family, snitch on everyone you love or hate at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. If you want to follow the show and see these photos, scamgoddesspod on Instagram. If you want to chat with me on Twitter, scamgoddesspod. And if you want to see me and my personal shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I-D Valacy on all platforms. Congregation, y'all get out there and make your own hedge fund, okay? Stay salmon, okay? Get out of the streets. Run from some goons. I want this for you. Bye.
Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo, and our audio engineer is Rich Garcia. Research for the show is done by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.